reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And also Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divisions of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, June 7th, 2022. And I'm excited to share two new friends that I'm just getting to meet. In fact, Michael DeHart was a part of our open house 35th anniversary celebration a few weeks ago. And he came up and said, oh, I've been blessed by the radio station. I wanted you to meet my wife. And you just walked around and met some of the staff. And then at one point, I got to meet with you and talk a little more, and I thought, hey, maybe we could have you on for a Testimony Tuesday. I liked your shirt at the time. It was one of those Jesus is Lord kind of shirts. Then I heard that you love to go to the park or out wherever you're at and preach the good news, share like an evangelist, whether it's on a street corner or at, I think you had said, the park or some. You like to be an evangelist for the Lord and share your testimony. I said, oh, we got to have you on for a Testimony Tuesday. So thank you for being available today, Testimony Tuesday. But I'm super excited also to have your son Benjamin in here in the studio. And Benjamin, you're going to be 8 years old in July, July 27th?
Yes, I am.
And when I said, what was your name? Is your middle name James?
James.
So your name is?
Benjamin James DeHart.
Yeah, I like that. And we prayed up the program, and so I asked Michael, I said, will your son maybe pray? And you said, he's a prayer warrior. Well, wow, I can't say I was surprised, but he prayed like a lengthy prayer with meat and substance and asked God to bless your efforts and what you were going to say and share. And I was like, he really is a little prayer warrior. Yeah. You're only 7 years old now?
Yeah.
Who taught you to pray? How did you know to pray all those words? And you used, it could be used to God's glory. And that's pretty special. Is that your mom and dad's influence on you?
No, it's the Lord's influence. He taught me how to pray.
Yeah.
And it's his will that he taught me how to pray.
Yeah.
So I can pray to him and give him all the glory and praise.
Yeah, well, you're a little special one, and I already could, I'm not a prophet, but I can see how God's going to use you into the future.
Yes.
This is your radio debut, right? First time on the radio?
Yes.
So little Benjamin is joining us, Benjamin James DeHart, the son of Michael and Holly DeHart. And you go by Michael DeHart Jr., right? So your dad is the senior?
Correct, yes.
And he's also known as Mike, I guess. You're Michael. Your wife's Holly. You're married just around 1 year now. Thank the Lord for that. You had already emphasized your love for her and you thank the Lord for her. But what is something about Holly that you not only appreciate, but maybe drew you to her right away?
Well, I would honestly have to say that it is her love for the Lord over the time frame in which she came to the Lord. When we first had gotten together, she did not know the Lord at the time. Hmm. And I've just got to watch the beautiful transformation take place in her, in our children, and everything else along the journey.
Mm-hmm. Now, how old is Evelyn, your daughter?
She is 12 and going to be 13.
My daughter is 12 and just turned 13 in April. So
okay.
We'll have to have those two connect one of these days.
Oh,
another thing that the listener will know right away when I say this, but when I was meeting with Michael a few weeks ago during the open house, he said, hey, if you need any kind of volunteer effort, said, bing, 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 you know, my eyes light up and I'm like, oh, sure, we'll find something. So this is kind of a way of training Michael and how to be in the studio, and I have some other plans and purposes. Hopefully the Lord will lead something to be able to work out. I know you spend some time homeschooling the kids and
yes,
helping them with education. And what does Evelyn do?
Evelyn, she likes to play the guitar and ukulele. She's practicing her music and just a lot of different outlets there. She's been learning. I've been teaching them German, actually, at a very young age by the grace of God. I learned that in high school.
Hmm.
So I've been able to pour that onto them a little bit.
And so what does Holly do?
Holly, it's actually a testimony of itself, but she works at Henderson Eye Clinic, and it's a Christian-based optometry. And it's just an amazing story of how she got in there. And she's very blessed to be there, and she's grateful for it, too.
Oh, great. Well, we'll have to have her in at some point. And I know when you said volunteering, you said, hey, my children are great volunteers. So it's like a 3 or 4 package volunteer yes. effort. So appreciate you on this Testimony Tuesday. And as mentioned, I'm just getting to know you. Thanks for coming in to share some of your faith journey. And I asked you about different verses, and you said, well, Mark, I really love the Bible, and sometimes God puts different verses on my heart and in preparation for being on Testimony Tuesday. I love the Romans verse. I love the Hebrew verse. There's a Corinthian verse I like, but let's begin with the Romans 5:8. How has God used that in your life?
Well, especially in this last season of my life, I went through a very hard term, and I believe it was a kind of a form of legalism, if you will. I had the faith increase that I was praying for from God, but in the overall turn, I believe I was starting to lack in love. And it was a terrible process that I went through and my family endured with me by the grace of God. But overall, through this last season, God has just opened my heart to the magnitude of his love in a way that I could never understand, fathom, or imagine. But that verse has captivated me when he said that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in 1 Peter, he tells us to remember the grace of God that we first received upon our faith and our salvation. For if we forget that, we end up worse off than when we were before we came to Christ.
Yeah, and that verse, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love yes. towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It reminds me, I'm shifting over to Romans 8. It seems like, therefore, there is now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And I think for sometimes many of the Christians that fail or fall or blow it, well, God is saying there's therefore now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So if somebody's in Christ Jesus, we have to give them some slack. Now, we want them to progress and grow and model Christ, and we want to point out if there's sin or there's areas in their life they need to grow through. But we have to always remember that God loves them because there's no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. In fact, yesterday when we were talking about prayer, one of the aspects of prayer is, are we shedding tears for those that are lost, for those that have maybe fallen, for those that are far from God? Are we that passionate to want to see them rescued from God's wrath? And so sometimes, you know, we want to judge them, or we want to point out their flaws or the sin in their life. And sometimes we might even hate them. And it's like God desires all to come to know him. So you kind of went through a period where, was it like becoming a Pharisee, or you were so passionate about God's word that you wanted people measuring up?
I would say in one word would be extremely overzealous. Mm-hmm. It was all God and all Christ and nothing else. And it came to the point to where I began to focus so much on the Lord that everything else became secondary. Oh. And in that, I began to lose a little bit of reality in that, the heart-to-heart comforting and sharing what we've been through to reach others. And it's all a battle of that mind, but the Lord's really worked wonders and miracles through that process. Mm-hmm. And I can say today it was kind of a Saul to Paul experience, sure. if we will, a sure. Transformation. I'm grateful for it.
Something that I've learned from Pastor Jason Schiffo, he's a great accountability partner and loves God's word. Like I say, oh gosh, you know, I failed, or I didn't measure up, or I didn't do something quite right. And he goes, you know what? That's really kind of good, because then you realize anew that you need Jesus. Yeah. You know, sometimes I think if we didn't sin or fall short, we'd get prideful or puffed up, or we'd start measuring everyone to our standard.
Right.
And so every once in a while when we fail, or we think, oh, Lord, but by the grace of God, thank you for saving me, I think it brings about humility and repentance. And that puts us in a good place whenever we lean into Jesus, because then we tend to not be so judgmental or trying to have everyone measure up to our standard. But you also mentioned Hebrews 4:12, which we were talking about. We love God's word, and how even today, as you were preparing to come in, you were thinking, Lord, what might be a verse, because it's living and it's active. So I'll read Hebrews 4:12 and comment on it. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even the divisions of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why does that strike you as a verse that God has used in your life?
Well, number one, I would say is that his word has indeed pierced my heart, and I've seen it time and time again applied in real life as the word is spoken, people have changes take place and begin to see God in a new light, in a new way. For Christ even said that if we did not believe in what God wrote through his word, he used the prophets, the Psalms, and the writings of Moses, that if they believe upon those, then they can believe in someone risen from the dead. He was pointing to himself. And I realized the importance of his word. It changes us from within. When we engage our faith, but we have to have that faith matched up with it. For if we have the word without faith, it's maimed. But with faith, we see the power of God take action through the word.
Now, walk me a little bit through your faith journey. And I don't know how many years it's been. In fact, how old are you? You're pretty young looking. It's like I told Tim and some of our staff, I said, we need some young blood, some younger people in here carrying the banner and assisting us old timers. But walk us through some of the faith journey. Did you grow up in a Christian home?
Not at all. Quite the opposite, actually. I grew up in a house of alcoholism and drug abuse and quarreling and strifes and belligerent fights and just evil in a high degree. The things that are symbolized by the flesh and the word of God, the spirit of God was not something that was put in high esteem, let alone even spoken of. So I had to fight my way through that as a child, and I believe without even knowing it, I was crying out to God. In my heart, I was crying out to God. There was a lot of lonely nights, a lot of tears shed on the behalf of my parents and my family members who were lost in their addictions. And that actually plays a vital role in my whole testimony in coming to God. I had godly ancestors, if we will, my grandparents, my mom's great-grandparents, and my dad's great-grandparents. They were actually faith people, from what I hear, and they were probably praying for the generations down low. There's always something that points back to the prayers of those who love the Lord, and it's powerful.
And I can't even overestimate or over-encourage the seniors, the grandmas and grandpas that are praying for their families or their children or great-grandchildren, the unique and crucial and significant role they play through praying, through modeling Christ, through an encouraging word, through having Christian music on, or by reading their Bible, modeling Christ through their love and care and
That's
compassion.
Right.
So how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I'm actually an only blood child.
Okay.
I have a stepsister who's, I believe, 19 now.
Okay.
And I have a stepbrother who's just a year younger than me.
Okay.
And to answer the question earlier, I just turned 28 May 26.
Okay.
So I'm still growing as we all are. But
sure.
it's been a long journey in a short period of time, to say the least.
So who was it that helped nurture you towards spiritual things, or was it reading the Bible or going to youth camp? What were the elements that started you on that faith journey to where you came to the point where I'm ready to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior?
Well, for me, it was all the Lord. I can't point to any individual. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, a little over nine years ago, I was lost off in my own addictions.
Right.
At the age of 11, I actually began to abuse marijuana with my dad and family members. I was allowed to do it at the house, for it was considered acceptable as long as I wasn't out in the world engaging in parties and wild things such as that, no matter how barbaric or crazy that may seem to us today. And what happened there was it just led into a long stream of events and opening doors to multitudes of other substances and things that just plagued me. And at the end of the result, I became addicted to many other drugs, and it led me to homelessness and being isolated from everything and everyone and anything I could have ever held dear. So 9 years ago, when I was lost in this addiction, I was 17, and I had an experience where I didn't believe in God. I didn't have a biblical outlook or outline of who God was. I was kind of a pagan of pagans. You know, we hear Paul talk about he's a Jew of Jews.
Right.
Well, I was kind of a pagan of pagans, if we will. I believed a little bit of anything and everything. I kind of believed in a little bit of Greek mythology, this, that. They're not worth the mention. But nonetheless, I was diving into all these outlets, and God ended up actually reaching me in my addiction. And it brings a verse to remembrance. I don't know the exact verse, but in Isaiah, he says, I appeared to them when they were not looking for me. And I believe it's quoted in the New Testament as well. And that verse really just gripped my heart, because he appeared to me when I wasn't seeking him, had no knowledge of who he even was. And all it was this. I was going along my journey in drug addiction, and I knew what to expect in the high on those phases. But yet this time around, there was no high. It was simply as if I was looking at blackness, and then it was just light, and then stars, and then I got to see different armies and pyramids and things such as that. This is going to sound real radical, so bear with me if you will, please. There's a lot of different things I got to witness. And then I just, like, I came to, And I was with my uncle. He's a year older than me, a childhood friend and family member that I spent almost every day with. We were like brothers. And we were engaging in these addictions together. And I was just rambling on, I guess, according to his testimony of the event, just talking incessantly. And then I stopped speaking. And I came to and I said to him these words. I said, "There is a God and it's Jesus Christ." And he didn't know what to think. He had the phone to call the ambulance. Now, I didn't have any biblical knowledge at the time, and it was a very strange experience. I actually ended up going into many different psychoses after that and was declared brain dead on three different occasions in different medicinal and psych wards, a long, long journey. But to wrap it up in a sum, God was there with me each and every time, and I'm here today only by his grace and mercies.
Well, I'm thinking, I opened up the Bible again because I wanted to look at that verse out of Romans. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners. And so I'm just thinking of the listener that's tuned in that says, "But Mark, you don't know my past. You don't know the decisions I made, the harm I've done, the people I've hurt. You don't understand all the baggage I carry." But this verse again, "But God demonstrated his love when we were sinners." So we weren't even necessarily looking for him, nor were you at the time. And yet that's when God kind of showed up in a unique, supernatural way. And so then who helped nurture you? Was it through God's word, going to church? When did you start beginning to say, "I'm going to follow this Jesus wholeheartedly"?
Well, that actually didn't take place until 5 years ago when I entered into the final breaking points and moments of my life where I was just completely at rock bottom and everybody closed the doors on me. There was no more enabling. I came to the point where it was face to face with God. And at that point where I realized and brought to remembrance how much God has been there for me and delivered me in the past, I knew that if I didn't do something at that moment, I was going to be done for. Because he had brought me back to from this declaration of being brain dead and having a statement of just hopelessness, as the doctors had stated to my family, that I knew if I continued on the path, there was going to be no more coming back to him. I just knew in that moment. And prior to all of this, I was walking, it's a little bit of a testimony, but I was walking down a street one day and end up just wandering into I think it's First Presbyterian Church over, it's an old one.
Springfield.
Yeah, by North Grand there. But I was just walking in, and it was a Wednesday night. And I was kind of in that brain dysfunction state of being, as I was declared. And I just kind of marched on into this church. And it was a Wednesday evening, and I walk in the doors. They were wide open. I go in. I wasn't expecting them to be unlocked. And they're singing. I hear the most beautiful symphony of sounds. And I walk into this church congregation, and I just follow the sound of the lovely voices. And I go down the hall, and I go into the room, and it's a bunch of elderly and middle-aged people singing hymns to God.
Now, when he said elderly, he kind of pointed at me.
Oh, no.
No, so go ahead.
No, they were singing hymnals, and it was the most beautiful sound to me in that season of my life, and it was amazing. And they were just so accepting and receiving of me, and I was able to sit down with them and to sing the hymnals with them. And I spent about an hour and a half with these people I never met or never knew. And they just poured the love of God on me and just showered me with blessing. And I just couldn't express that moment in my life. And I believe that right there was a great cultivation of my faith.
Yeah, kind of another stepping stone that God was using to woo you back to himself or to launch you on that faith journey or that sanctification process.
Yes, I mean,
we all go through that. Sometimes it's a few steps forward and maybe a back step, but the trajectory is always getting to understand God's love for us and his ways and his purposes and his plans. And then as we surrender and he's allowed to work more fully in and through us. And so you're taking these steps, you're believing that there's a God. When did you begin to sense his very love for you?
Well, that's been a long journey,
and
I need to be reminded every day because there's a lot of other voices out there that try to tell us otherwise.
Right.
But like I said, 5 years ago, when I was at the brink end of everything, I made a commitment. I gave myself a very hard prep talk in the mirror, and I dropped down and just began to shed my tears like never before. I poured my whole heart out to God. I stood up from that moment. I felt as if I was sober, and I was high on crack cocaine and acid at that time. There was no logical, scientific, measurable way in which I should have been feeling like I was feeling. And I stood up from prayer, and I looked in the mirror, and I just felt as if I had clarity and a sober mind like I never had. I walked 3 miles in the end of January, January 29th, to a psych ward. I stayed there for 4 days, and then I had went to a rehabilitation facility for another 32 days. and then my grandparents, how lovely they were in that season of my life and how they still are, allowed me to move in with them after that to begin to start my life anew.
Yeah, to nurture and help you. I was going to say, because I've had friends with various addictions or I've learned or interviewed people, that had to be a real tough, you know, going cold turkey and even staying sober to this day, knowing some of the tendencies or the addictions being so strong. Has God been able to really heal you from that? Is it still a temptation? How can our listeners be praying for you and for your future so that you stay on this great road that God's laying forward for you?
5 years ago from the rehabilitation time frame. Now, taking that forward, there was a backsliding, not in the drug addiction, but into alcohol and gambling down in Mississippi. I had moved down there with my grandparents where I met my lovely wife and got acquainted with my children. They're not my biological children, but they are mine by the grace of God.
Sure.
And we got acquainted, and that's where everything began to change. But I felt just as much the darkness of soul in the gambling and the drinking as I did in the crack cocaine and the other substances I was once addicted to. And I was brought back to that moment of hopelessness, brought back to that moment of darkness, and that I had to make a decision then and there. And that was a little over 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's when the full-fledged dedication to God came into my life.
And I ask that because I'm sure there's a wide span of listeners from all walks of life, all life experiences, some that have failed and just feel like they don't know how to turn around, to the senior saint that's finishing well and is praising the Lord right now for you and your testimony, to someone in between that's connecting with these verses that you've shared or is feeling empowered to stand strong and to testify to God's goodness, to the person that's really still struggling, does God really care? What would you say to the continuum of people?
I would say the key thing is honesty. God knows our thoughts and our hearts, kind of like that Hebrews verse again, 4:12. He knows everything already. And that can be frightening to us when we're lost in our sins. And it can also be very encouraging to us when we're walking with the Lord. But nonetheless, we need to be reminded that He already knows it all. And that just opens up a clear dialogue, kind of like Mark did for me here today. He just gave me a full open dialogue and helped me to be comfortable here in the studio. And I'm grateful for that, Mark. And that's how God is with us. He lets us know who He is through His word and the revelation of His Son, Christ Jesus. And that's how we can come to Him through His Son. And we can be open and honest. Mark, it comes down to this. Surrender. We can't. He can. We have to let Him. Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying on the cross for the behalf of all of mankind's sins, certifies Him to be the only one qualified to deal with every addiction, every depression, every mistake, past, present, future, and forever, for all of eternity. Christ Jesus, the living Son of God, is the only one qualified to handle all of the messes, all of the cares and anxieties of this life. We can't. He can. We have to let Him.
And when we know His character and He has our best interest in mind and He created us with different gifts and abilities and He knows the beginning from the end. And again, I'm going to refer to this verse because it's such a classic. It's an important one for all of us to, some would say, hang our hats on, but to just know and be mindful of. But God does demonstrate His own love for us. It's amazing. God loves you, listening friend. God demonstrates His own love towards us in this, while we were still sinners. It's not when you clean up your act. It's not when you got it perfect. It's not when everything is just hunky-dory, as they say. It's while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. He paid the ultimate price. He paid the sacrifice. He died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, for Michael's sins, for even sweet Benjamin's sins. The Lord loves us all. He paid the price for us, and He wants to redeem us. There's a plan and a purpose for all of us. And first and foremost, we have to recognize ourselves as sinners, and then we have to call on Jesus, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Yes. We have to confess our sins and say, Jesus, we need You. Please forgive us of our sins. Forgive me of my sins. And He will embrace you. He will walk you through, whether it's an addiction, whether it's you're just too busy, you're a workaholic, you're not treating your family right.
That's right.
Maybe you're wandering. God is there. Cast your cares on Him. He cares for you. That's a truth in the Bible, and it's a truth you can cling to. We serve a loving, caring God. He's the best example of fatherhood. And you're doing a pretty good job here with Benjamin. I want to get to know Benjamin a little better. And Benjamin was telling me some of the things he loved about you. And with Father's Day coming up, what a great way for you to be a father to these children and to also father those that are learning to follow Jesus.
That's right.
Well, listening friend, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org. Hey, Benjamin, do you mind closing out our time in prayer, asking God to touch the people that are tuned in today? Maybe that God would encourage somebody that's lonely or hurting, or maybe somebody that doesn't know Jesus yet, that you can ask God to bless and encourage them.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time that you give to us every single day. Thank you for the warmness outside, Lord, that you give to us, Lord, for us to enjoy, Lord. The life outside, Lord, and the plants, Lord, and the sunshine, Lord, and the clouds, Lord. Pray, Lord, that this may be a blessing to others out there, Lord, so they can come to know you more, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Pray, Lord, for all the people out there, Lord, that they can come to know you, Lord, so as they listen to this, Lord, may they come to you, Lord. Know your word, Lord, and read your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Oh, wow. I don't know if you're feeling like me listening, friend, but what a blessing. From the mouth of babes, yes. It talks about that even in Revelation, how God is going to use the children to impact the world. And Benjamin, you're going to be a special person that God's going to use in the days ahead. May you be very blessed and receive God's goodness, all designed for you to do great things as he works in and through you. Well, I pray that for all of you tuned in today, those of you maybe far from God, to the senior saint, may you accept and receive and embrace God's love for you. He does care for you, and he does desire the best for you, and may you understand his goodness, because he does care for you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Michael DeHart Jr. and Benjamin DeHart with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.